This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It's hour number two on a football Friday, presented by Progressive Insurance. It is Barton Hahn coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Grey Goose. So we talked enough about what we saw last night in the Titans and the Packers as the Titans win. Derrick Henry had 87 yards. How about that he's, by the way, for the fifth straight year, 1,000 yards rushing and 10 touchdowns. That doesn't sound like a lot, but I mean, that is consistent.
With 6 weeks to go.
Well, actually, I should point that out, too. But he also, how about the passing touchdown he threw? He and now Christian McCaffrey, the only two guys that have rushed and thrown, right, from the running back position. In the same game, which is pretty
He just hasn't fell off yet. I thought he would have fell off. You know, we watched Eddie George fall off. We watched Brandon Jacobs fall off from the hits that he takes.
Yeah.
Usually, you know, we're not accustomed to seeing somebody that big, you know, that, you know, be this good for this long. And he's he takes way more carries than Brandon Jacobs takes. And he's falling off faster. Because we saw it, right? We saw Earl Campbell. For everything you want to say about Earl Campbell fell off for like 6 years. It was like 6 years for Earl Campbell. Like, Derrick Henry's been doing it for a long time. DeMarco Murray, when he came from Dallas, after he had the 400-yard carries, he fell off. We have I don't see any signs of falling off from him. He's one of one.
Now, quickly, on that, just one take on the Titans before we go around the NFL for Sunday's games. What did we learn something about them now that they are 7-3? They've won 7 of the last 8 games. And Derrick Henry, as we just talked about, just still looks like the same indomitable, you know, weapon that they have that is this the centerpiece of their offense.
Well, I think we learned that Treylon Burks is a young A.J. Brown. And that's who he was compared to.
Okay.
And he may not be where A.J. Brown is now, but in the future, they got his replacement. And he showed that he can beat one-on-one coverage.
Okay. And obviously, Ryan Tannehill healthy is a much different look for that offense than what we've seen the last couple of weeks when Malik Willis, the rookie, was having to fill in. All right. So tell you what. So that game's out of the way. Week 11 is underway. We got some big games coming up on Sunday. Let's whip around the NFL. And, Bart, so I'm going to give you a game, and you're going to tell me – the first thought that comes to mind, what you're looking for, what you expect out of these games. Let's begin.
Cowboys at Vikings.
Oh, man, for this one, I expect the running game. Zeke Elliott may be back. That gives them much-needed depth and also pass rushing and pass protection, you know, pickup. So, you know, I expect both sides because Dalvin Cook, on the other side, has been playing at a high level. He's one of the best backs in the game. And the Cowboys are going to have to pick their poison.
That's right.
Like, I put the eighth man in the box and watch that man that destroyed the Buffalo Bills for almost 200 yards? The Buffalo Bills defense that don't give up stuff to nobody. And let him be by himself. And also, remember, they made the trade for T.J. Hockenson. So even when you do that, your safeties are in trouble as well because he's a guy that can get loose if you forget about him. Mm-hmm. And, oh, yeah, they have Thielen. And you probably are sensing a theme that I'm picking the Vikings because I just don't know if the Cowboys have enough to be able to stop them defensively. And I know Lawrence and everybody wants to say that they think that they have figured it out, but they don't have it figured out.
Cowboys go into this game on the road, by the way, in Minnesota. 8-1 Minnesota. And the Cowboys are favored. I know it's a point and a half, but still.
Yeah, good luck with that. That's disrespectful. Minnesota just beat arguably the best team in football. 4-star, we got enough battery time and sunlight to be able to soak up enough sun during pregame warm-ups to be able to get Captain Planet ready to play a full 60 minutes.
All right, let's go. What's our next game?
Chiefs at Chargers.
This was supposed to be a game that we thought was going to be for first place. Now, I know that the Chargers are 5-4, and theoretically, it's still a realistic chance that they could – or still a chance – that they could potentially win the division, but that would mean a collapse of the Kansas City Chiefs. That would mean that the Chargers would definitely have to win this game to give the Chiefs three losses.
Three losses, right.
I mean, I don't know. Mike Williams coming back. Keelan Allen may come back. No Joey Bosa. The story of this team for the last 10 years, or last 5 years for sure, is that they just can't stay healthy. They get injuries at the most important positions, left tackle, pass rusher, and cornerback. That's all the three pieces where they're missing, not just good players, but Pro Bowl, All-Pro, and franchise players. When you think about the left tackle, Bosa, and J.C. Jackson, they gave more money than Scrooge McDuck.
The Chiefs are by the way, on the road laying 5 in this game. So there's a lot of belief in the Chiefs to continue it rolling the way they have been at 7-2, like you said. But, I mean, if the Chargers are going to try to at least put a scare into Kansas City, this is a win they've got to get. So at least a 6-4 record after it and a 7-3 record for the Chiefs brings you within an arm's length with still lots of season to go. All right, let's get another game as we go around the NFL with Bart Scott.
Eagles at Colts.
We got the Saturdays on Sundays.
Yes.
And I think it's a mission by the Philadelphia Eagles that they need some help in run defense because they went out and signed Linval Joseph, run stopper, and Ndamukong Suh yesterday. We talked about it. But those guys won't be ready this week as they probably have to get ready, get worked in, and learn the defense.
No Jordan Davis either still, right?
So right, no
still
Jordan
have
Davis.
That issue.
So it's a lot on Fletcher Cox by itself, and he's not who he used to be. He's on the down end or starting to slow down as far as being a dominant defensive tackle. So, I mean, I think that, you know, we're going to get a lot of Jonathan Taylor, and it's going to give the Colts a shot. But ultimately, I don't think the Colts are a good enough football team and have enough inspiration by our Jeff Saturday to have them be victorious on Sunday.
You don't think they're going to get it done. The game is on ESPN Radio, so it'll be a good one to listen to if you're in the car or around about on Sunday. But you don't think that the fact that we know Jeff Saturday – that offensive line looked a lot different when he took over as the head coach, as you thought it probably would.
Man,
they're going to run the hell out of the ball. How about this?
It was the Raiders. It was the Raiders.
I know. Now, the Eagles are laying 7. Would you at least give me that this could be at least a close game?
Not without Shaq Leonard. Because on the other side, who's going to stop? Who's going to be spying Jalen Hurts? Who's going to be spying Miles Sanders?
Okay.
No
one. I'm not believing in that. All right. Let me just throw – let's throw a couple more here real quick. Browns and Bills got moved to Detroit. Now, I know the Browns are 3-6. Deshaun Watson's now at least practicing, but it's still going to be 2 more weeks before they can even put him on the field. Mm-hmm. The Bills are 6-3 coming off 2 frustrating losses, and for Josh Allen, some frustration about the way he's been playing. Snow in Buffalo, they have to travel today in it. They couldn't – have a in-person workout today, though you've told me many times Thursday's a more important day. Friday doesn't mean anything.
Right.
But the game being in Detroit, so it's in the dome, does this favor the Bills, or does the disruption make you think that it's another distraction that could cause them to be susceptible to yet another loss this week?
To me, I think it favors the Bills because if Cleveland was going to have a chance, it's because Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb goes off. And, you know, I think with the elements, when you have those downhill blockers, those defenders from the Buffalo Bills would find it a lot easier to really tackle, you know, Chubb indoors than when those shoulder pads are cold and those things hurt and sting and you get those easy cuts. Because what people don't realize, when it gets cold outside, your skin gets really dry and those cuts and scrapes open up real fast. And then until you get in the shower, do you realize how many cuts you got and how many things and dings once it unthaws and you start feeling the nerve endings.
Do you have like personal experience in this?
Listen,
you had no idea, then all of a sudden the water runs down, you're like, ah!
Yeah, of course. Come on now. First of all, I have no room for error because I have no scar tissue. I have so much scar tissue on my shins from being cut so much that if I bump my leg or against anything, instantly it started bleeding. And I don't even have the pigmentation, didn't even come back to my skin because I've opened and cut my leg so much that I have pink spots on my shins from all the damage from cleats and ground and gravel ever since I was 8 years old. So, yeah, absolutely. And, you know the cold weather, hides a lot until that warm shower get on there and that stuff get in there and you feel that burn. It's like walking around, you got that strawberry and it won't bleed until a little while. It'll be white. You'll be looking at it and a little baby be crying like, ah! The delayed effect.
Yes. I'm curious about this game too, Bart. And you might kind of shrug it off, but I'm not. So if you feel like the Eagles are going to roll this week against the Colts and they'll be 9-1,
remember, they got embarrassed. They're coming back to try and
– I got you. And the Cowboys, you think, are going to lose to the Vikings. So the Cowboys at 6-3. The Giants host the Lions.
That's dangerous.
And the Lions are – thank you. All right, I was
dangerous,
hoping you'd say that.
Man, the Lions are
the
dangerous.
The Lions aren't a team you want to mess with now. The Giants are home.
They can score on anybody.
So are you, like, if you're the Giants, like, this is one of those got to win it so you can keep pace with the Eagles, and it moves you ahead of the Cowboys. If the Cowboys lose to the Vikings, you're kind of like separation a little bit happened there. But I'm not sleeping on this game. I think this is one of those games that if you're Dan Campbell and company, like, you could make it real difficult for the Giants.
Yeah, here's the thing. We know the Lions can't stop nobody.
Yep.
But we also know the Giants don't score more than 24 points. We know the Lions don't score less than 27 points. Something has to give.
Wow. I want to say, I'm trying to find while you were talking, and normally you go a little bit longer. I was trying to get the line for this game because I'm really curious to see how Vegas is viewing this, because most people, if you just look at it at a glance, you might think, this is not a big game. Like, you would, if you're a Giants fan, you're circling like, supposed to win this game.
Man,
supposed
to win. Right, so it's giving three.
Giants are giving three at home. Yeah, I just caught
that,
up.
That
to,
means it's a pick 'em.
Essentially, right, because you're home.
Yes, that's a pick 'em. Yeah, Vegas knows, like, man, the Lions can score on anybody.
All right, that was fun. All right, going around the league with Bart Scott. Lots of fun. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. It's Progressive's 10th Keys to Progress giveaway for veterans. This year, their goal is to gift a vehicle to a recipient, small business, or nonprofit in every state. See more about their annual giveaway at keystoprogress.com.
The audio file. The audio file.
All right, it is time for audio files. Let's go around the league right now, Bart Scott, or go around the sports world right now and get some of the takes from the headline makers who are doing the talking for us. Aaron Rodgers has been a big topic of conversation on the show today. The Packers lost last night in Thursday Night Football 27-17. They dropped to 4-7. ESPN's Football Power Index gives them only a 6% chance to make the playoffs. So Aaron Rodgers, what are we looking forward to?
Yeah, season's not over. There's still 6 opportunities left. You know, we got a tough game. Got to go to Philly. Hopefully we can, these few days, get a little healthier, refresh the mind, and then obviously we got to win these next games.
Yeah, the mini bye, and hello, Philly.
Yeah, mini ass kicking. I just say this. If they lose to Philadelphia, then it's time to go for the last 5 games with Jordan Love. Jordan Love looks like he has any pulse. I'm trading Aaron Rodgers.
I thought you were the one who said, I paid him all this money, I'm making him play. Why should he get to sit?
I know, but now, because now, if I'm saying, as an organization, I'm saying we're trading him, I don't want him to get hurt.
Okay, fair enough. All right, how about this? You're talking about, we were talking earlier about the proper way to build with a star like Aaron Rodgers, right? And you were blaming the front office. How about this from LeBron James? So the Shop did a Manning cast kind of broadcast last night where LeBron and Mav Carter and I think Jalen Ramsey was sitting in for a while. They had a bunch of guys on the set, and they were just watching the game last night, Thursday Night Football, and talking as well. LeBron, a big football fan, was talking about Aaron Rodgers. Or was he?
I don't feel like it's a discredit when you got a transcendent franchise player like Aaron Rodgers, quarterback. Obviously, we know the quarterback position in the NFL, you know, besides if you had like a monster defensive end, you know what I'm saying, or a D-tackle like obviously Aaron Donald, that's the most important position in the NFL. So why wouldn't you surround that when you got the picks to maximize what he can do?
Are we still talking football or are we talking basketball?
We're still talking football, or we talking basketball? Because that sounds very familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah,
you have a transcendent superstar. Why wouldn't you surround him with talent rather than hang on to draft picks?
Well, they surrounded LeBron James with 2 Hall of Fame players in the Brody Hall of Famer.
Anthony Davis.
And Anthony Davis. So it's not like, you know, they didn't give LeBron what he asked for. The problem is he asked for the wrong stuff.
And he's also been the one pushing for those future picks to try to make, you know, make the roster better. But was he so you feel like...
Yeah, he was projecting.
He was kind of...
Listen, and it wasn't just us. They've discussed this before because his boy was right on crew, right on cue. Oh, right. Are we still talking about football? Yeah, so
exactly.
He's pushing a narrative that he wants to push. Yeah.
Everybody wants to be less neat. F them picks. All right, we continue with audio files. I'm Bart and Hahn. I want to get your take on this as a defensive player. This is your guy, Don Wink Martindale, who's now the defensive coordinator with the Giants. And he's talking about rookie Kayvon Thibodeau, the edge rusher that they drafted, and they're very happy about. So what pleases Wink most about Kayvon?
I always said we're going to open up a can of whoop ass. Well, he's the can opener. You know, like you have a guy running free to the quarterback, okay, playing a single high safety. Well, he has to do the right pattern to get that guy free, and that's what pleases me about the guy himself.
So what part is he talking about when he calls Kayvon Thibodeau a can opener?
You know, that means he's an ass kicker. You know what I'm saying? He's one of these guys, these dark alley guys. Like, yo, if I'm stuck in the alley, who I want, what teammate I want with me, if I'm in a bar fight. You know, he's just basically trying to get a kid a little kudos. You know, I haven't seen that much. Maybe I need to watch more Giants game. I know he was injured, but he hasn't been like a war daddy that we thought he was going to be. Like, Aiden Hutchinson probably is right up there as far as the best pass rusher that came out. And he was picked ahead of Thibodeau. And rightfully so, because we thought that Kayvon was going to be the first guy taken off. It ended up being Trevon Walker.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been okay, but, you know, I think his
they're very
bright.
Happy with him.
I think his future's bright. And mm-hmm. he's buying in. He plays with a lot of emotion and passion. And he's got a great opportunity this week to really be able to, you know, hold that team that puts up 27 points to under 27 points is going to be because they got Goff under duress.
I think what I heard from him, and again, if I was a reporter, I was taking these, you know, taking that quote down, I would have written it as what he's suggesting is like, you know, obviously a pass rush is opening up a can of whoop ass, right?
Yeah.
You need somebody that knows what to do to get that can open, right? The right, you know, the right, like almost sacrificing yourself to open the door for someone else.
I hear that too.
And so he'll come after someone and be difficult to deal with, which opens the door for a teammate to get to the quarterback,
for
he's willing
stunts,
to do it.
Line stunts and stuff like that. Like, I was a setup man, the fall guy, arm hook to tackle, make the edge shorter when they come around for the TE stunt. So mm-hmm. I can see that, too. I think I heard a little bit of that, too. But you may be more on point than I was.
I like that, though. I like that from Wink about the rookie. Okay, last but not least. So what we talked about when the Eagles lost to the Commanders is that they got run over. You know, and they had a hard time stopping the run. And that was a big problem here. Listen to Fletcher Cox. And by the way, this is a full interview that you'll hear on Football Sunday Countdown on ESPN Radio. It starts at noon Eastern. He disagrees with the idea that they got pushed around.
I don't think we got pushed around. They came in with a good game plan. I don't think at one time I'd question these guys' toughness on defense. They had a good game plan going into it. You know, they did a good job. You know, they're pros, too. They get paid to play, too. But as far as just saying this team getting pushed around, that's bull. You know, if anybody can say that, you know, on the outside of this locker room, you know, we're not looking into that. For those people that want to be us, and you know, those guys that want to be us in our position. But at the end of the day, how do we respond? We got hit in the mouth. How do we respond?
Is he in denial? Or does he have a point?
He's well in denial because the organization said that they got punched in the mouth by going and signing Linville Joseph and Ndamukong Suh. So if he thought y'all had it all together and everything cool, all copacetic, why make the moves, Fletch? Why make the moves? Exactly. Stop it, son. You in denial, man. And the athlete are usually the last person to know when something's going wrong. But the organization is telling you that we got pushed around. They had a good game plan, meaning that they won. That's what that means. They had a good game plan. That means they won. So that means that you got pushed around.
Whatever their game plan was to push you around. Their game plan was to win in the trenches, and they did.
I know a lot of guys that are tough as hell, and they get their ass beat too. So just because you get your ass beat don't mean you soft. Like when Lennox Lewis knocked out Mike Tyson not soft. He just got his ass beat. So just people got this whole thing. If you're not afraid, you won't lose. Wrong. Wrong. For every kid out there, I don't want you to be, I think I can. That don't always mean you will. That just means you have a chance. Have an equal chance to get your ass kicked.
As one man famously said many years ago, anyone can get got. And that's what happened last week. That's what happened Monday night. And you know what? I still think for the Eagles, you mentioned it. They're not going to have Joseph. They're not going to have Suh. And they're not going to have Davis.
They're going to sign somebody else today. And he's still like, yo, why do you keep signing people?
Another 300-pound guy.
No, we ain't good.
888 say ESPN. 888-7-7-9.
We're refrigerated Perry when we need him.
3776. This is something we haven't talked about yet, but Mike in New York wants to talk about it. So let's do it. Go ahead, Mike.
Hello, yeah. So I just wanted to, first of all, I'm just going to make my comment, and I'll sit back and listen to you guys respond. But first of all, I love that you guys, man. You guys bring the truth every day, so I just want to appreciate that.
Thank you.
I just want to talk a little bit Patriots for a second. So diehard fan, Patriots fan, been one since I was, you know, knee-high to grasshopper. But you know, so I went through my losing season with them for a while, you know. But I just want to say, they're only one game down behind the Jets and the Bills. I'm not saying anything like they're going to win the Super Bowl or whatever. I know that's a far cry, you know, for that. But I do want to say that they're sitting there. They can upset some dreams. You know, we're playing the Jets this weekend, and we beat them, and we're two games over them. That puts us ahead of them, and then because of tiebreaker. And then, you know, if the Buffalo Bills keep going in the slump that they're in right at the moment, you know, then, hey, they could be they could upset some dreams this year. So I just want to sit back and see you guys comment on that. And, again, I appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Mike. I mean,
they're a well-coached team that can run the ball and can muddy it up and dirty it up and is getting their time of the season where weather and elements can handicap and hide their deficiencies and expose other teams' deficiencies. The problem is you're just a good team. You don't have a dynamic player not as good as Derrick Henry, but you're built like Derrick Henry in the Tennessee Titans.
They have right now a 20% chance to make the playoffs. That's the lowest by far in the AFC. Again, this is all ESPN's
analytics.
They're
in right now. They're in right now.
Yeah, but like the whole idea of the whole division getting in is like 5.7% chance.
They play each other.
Very, very low. Right, because they play each other. Somebody's gonna have to lose. But it is amazing. They started but in the preseason, it was only a 30% chance. So it's not like they've had this massive drop-off. There wasn't great belief in the Patriots. But the door is still very much open for them. And this game on Sunday against the Jets, for the Patriots as much for the Jets.
Well, they'll have to run the table, though. They'll have to run the table, though. Because they still have to play Miami, and they'll have to sweep their division in the second half. Because if they get two losses there, that'll give them six
losses.
Listen,
what they've got coming up is not easy. They play the Jets at home, then they've got the Vikings and the Bills. Like those, it's just three tough weeks that they've got coming up. And they play the Vikings, by the way, on Thanksgiving night. It's on the road, too. Yeah, so you've got that. And then after that, it gets soft. You got Cardinals and Raiders. But still, these 3 weeks right here could decide what's happening next for the Patriots. But what about Philadelphia? Let's get back to the conversation on the Eagles and how they're going to respond to that Monday night loss to the Commanders. We get answers from Philly next. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, presented by Progressive Insurance. Hey, we all know the game isn't over till it's over. Next time you need parts for your car, don't call it quits. Go to eBay Motors. They have 122 million parts to take your car into overtime. Get the right parts at the right prices. eBayMotors.com. Say it, Bart Scott.
Yo, they're about 10 seconds from kicking Russell Wilson's ass.
What else are you hearing?
If I'm a defensive player, like we number one in scoring two. I said this yesterday, didn't I? You know how hard it is to hold your all opponents to 16 points, but your offense is last with 14 points? You know how hard?
A lot of frustration.
Knowing that they're giving the ball right back. You know how many times they got to be like, if I'm the Tennessee team, if I'm on defense with Tennessee, I am buying our offense everything.
Well, because they only go 53
snaps. They be on 8-minute drives. I can go in the back. Cook a hot dog, eat a hot dog,
all right.
Wipe my butt and come back, and they still on the field.
Let's bring in Tim McManus, ESPN Eagles reporter, he knows something about, at least recently, he has seen a team that can get run on and what it can do, the impact it can have, not just on your defense, but also on your, just on the feel of the team at this point. Tim, how you doing? So I mean, I think it's obvious, but I'll let you answer it. Adding Sue, adding Joseph in the last couple of days, that's 600 pounds of human beings to this team. What is the message that Howie Roseman's sending?
Oh, that they're going for the championship, number one. I mean, that's something that Linval Joseph talked about immediately when he got here, is that, you know, they're here for gunning for championships. And number two, that the run defense in particular wasn't good enough. You know, we saw when the rookie Jordan Davis went down with the high ankle sprain against the Steelers that the run defense really just kind of crumbled, and they gave up 150-plus yards on the ground these past 2 weeks to the Commanders and the Texans. It was becoming a clear vulnerability, and Roseman went out and he got two very accomplished veterans that he's hoping will, you know, help stem that tide and get these guys to where they want to go.
Listen, we know salary caps are all about accounting, but the fact that they don't have to pay Jalen Hurts this year or next year,
yeah, rookie deal,
means right. That they're all in and they're able to go get these luxury pieces. But are we convinced, or are we 100% sure that the deal long-term is coming for Jalen Hurts? Has he shown enough already in this short season that suggests that he should be the future quarterback for this team? Or are they looking with those two picks to maybe move up and go address the quarterback position long-term in the draft?
I would say that coming into this season, it was largely like, this is the prove-it year for Jalen Hurts, whether he is going to be that long-term answer or whether they are going to look to a quarterback-rich draft class coming up. They do have those two first-round picks, and one of them is actually looking really good because it's the Saints pick, and that's, you know, that's around the top five right now. But I think that he has proven it. You know, he's still young in this game. He always has had the leadership. He's always had the intangibles. We know what he can do as a playmaker. The big question was, you know, what can he do to elevate himself as a passer? And, you know, he's in the top 10 right now in completion rate. He has really taken to this system and has proven that the fact that he hasn't had a consecutive year in the same system since high school was holding him back a little bit in his respective stops. But now that he's been able to absorb it, you know, he sees things before they're coming. He knows where to go with the football. He's been an exceptional leader for this team and is really like he's the guy talking in the center of the circle before the game. He's the one breaking them down afterwards and giving them the proper message, setting the tone in here. And so barring, you know, a complete drop off over the second half of the season, I think that he has done enough to get that second contract here in Philly.
Does that change if he gets bounced in the first round of the playoffs? Mm. Because he looked good last year, and then against Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he looked average. And one will argue that he has the best roster supporting cast. So is it more about him as a quarterback or more about his supporting cast? Because once he gets paid, that supporting cast won't be as good.
I mean, I think it's a great point. Like the fact that they can go out and get a couple guys in Joseph and Sue, and that they could sign a trade for A.J. Brown and then sign him to a $100 million contract. Those are all the benefits in part of having Jalen Hurts on a rookie contract. And I guess the way to answer that is if it becomes questionable in any way, the Eagles have the luxury of not having to pay him this offseason. He's eligible for a new contract once the season is over, but that doesn't necessarily mean the Eagles have to give him a mega contract there. I mean, often what we know about this team is when they identify a core player, they like to lock him up as early as possible to a new contract, because obviously the price tag is always going up in this league. We know that. And so they try to be fiscally responsible in that sense. But if they have any questions whatsoever, they can allow Jalen to play out the final year of his rookie contract and then kind of take it from there.
Tim McManus covering the Eagles for us at ESPN, joining us right now on the show. So we saw why, and we just talked about it, why they lost. They had their first loss of the season to the Commanders. They lost the game at the line of scrimmage. They got bullied and they got run on. And adding Sue and Lynn Joseph is good for the future, and obviously having Jordan Davis as well, but none of them will be going to be available, at least I don't expect, on Sunday. We know the Colts and Jeff Saturday want to run the ball. Do you expect this to be an issue for the Eagles, or did they talk about this week the adjustments they need to make?
Yep, so I think Joseph actually is going to play in this game. Signs are pointing in that direction. And then as far as Sue, you know, maybe a handful of snaps. He just got here. Like today was his first practice. We just got done talking to him in the locker room. And he's kind of, you know, not sure. He said he's going to leave it up to the coaches. But there's a chance that he gets in that game as well. But to the larger point, you know, these guys are brand new to the system. And really, they haven't played it all this year. So how much can they give you? but I think all eyes are going to be on that Indy rushing attack. And, you know, part of what defense coordinator Jonathan Gannon does is he likes to have his safeties play back to prevent the big play. That's kind of part of what he does philosophically. But I think everybody recognizes at this point that the weakness is, needs to be addressed. The weakness is the rush defense. I think that you'll see more guys in the box, safeties coming down, whatever they can do to make sure that Jonathan Taylor doesn't gouge them like the past two backs have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right. Tim, great stuff. We'll look forward to the rest of the coverage of this season because it could be a special one in Philadelphia. All the best.
All right, same to you guys. Thanks for having me.
Tim McManus, our ESPN Eagles reporter. All right, coming up, we have your calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And one player got his MVP last night, but will he get the new deal, at least the one he was hoping to get? We'll discuss with an update next. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Bart and Hahn is in the house. It is presented by Progressive Insurance. 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Be part of the conversation. Sal Palantonio joining us in the next hour. Always great when we talk to Sal Pal. When you get Bart and Sal Pal together, it's always fun. Plenty of Jets to get to because Jets-Patriots is it's the biggest matchup between these two teams since, I'll let you know when. But right now, we stay in New York because Bart, as baseball free agency is, you know, obviously heating up, Aaron Judge won his MVP last night as expected. Not a surprise at all that he won MVP. In fact, it was almost unanimous. Only two votes for Shohei Ohtani. Do you know where they came from?
The Jeter hater?
Yeah, both came from the Anaheim, L.A. area. So that's all you needed to know about that.
Makes sense.
Yeah, of course it makes sense. It's probably better
consistent.
For your business.
At least they're consistent.
Well, it's probably better for your business. You know what I mean? If you feel like relationships and whatnot, but I digress. But Aaron Judge has talked a little bit already about his, you know, free agency situation. One thing he said is this, and you know what? I'm going to read this, but let's read it. And let's get a little translation. So let's turn on the BS translator.
A little voice pops up in the back of your mind to say, this guy who's sitting before me is telling me stories.
This is the BS translator.
That's why there's hope, because there's people like me who listen.
With Bart and Hahn.
So let me read this to you, and then I need you to translate. Aaron Judge said this. For me, I want to win. I've come pretty close with the Yankees. My ultimate, most important thing is I want to be on a team with a winning culture and a commitment to winning. First and foremost, it's a winning culture and a winning future. What's he really saying?
Sounds to me like he's describing somebody other than the Yankees.
Well, how is that?
No, because
winning culture,
listen,
commitment to winning.
Why would he say that when he's in that?
Well, I think maybe he's suggesting that you have to be as what the Yankees are, and there's not many franchises out there that are what they are.
Oh, not the Boston Red Sox?
Like,
no.
If the Minnesota Twins come and offer me $300 million, I might be like, yeah, but you're not about winning.
Okay, the Red Sox?
But they're not coming to him with all that. They don't have that.
The Giants?
They were. I mean, San Francisco Giants haven't really been that in a couple of years now. Not at that level, but they were for a while.
The Braves?
But they're not. They don't have the money. They're not doing that. They got all their money locked up. They've got superstar, young superstars on that.
The
team.
Dodgers.
There. Where are they putting him? Come on. Where are they putting him?
They'll put his ass anywhere. What do you mean?
No.
So what you're saying is, so tell me this. Who really
is? His market's limited. Because the Texas Rangers could offer him a boatload of money, and he's talking about commitment to winning and a winning culture, which doesn't exist in Arlington.
Oh, him and DeGrom together? Could change something.
Again, it would be starting from scratch. Sure, you could try to sign these two guys. $600 million and two players.
The Mets?
Who? The Mets?
Who, the Mets?
Who? The Jets?
Well, all right. So how about Judge also saying that he's had, quote, positive talks with Hal Steinbrenner? But he's still, of course, going to test the market because, you know, I mean, for he said it's still pretty early. A lot of stuff doesn't start kicking up until the winter meetings in December. But it's going to be a fun process that my family and I will definitely enjoy.
It's in, right?
Yeah, free agency is the time you want to enjoy this.
Isn't it a deal already out there? I just thought I saw Cashman say the clock's ticking.
Yes, Brian Hoke did report this, MLB Yankees reporter. So the Cashman said the Yankees have made an updated offer to Aaron Judge. Remember, he turned down about $214 million as an extension
pocket change
last year. So Cashman's quote via Hoke is this: "It's in real time, so we're on the clock. We're certainly not going to mess around."
Well,
I would hope you wouldn't mess around.
Can we ask our listeners?
We could.
What that offer should look like, or what we believe that offer should look like? Yeah.
So you're telling me, see, let me ask you this. When he just said we're not going to mess around, I would think that you're at final offer stage, right? Like, you are not going to, like, offer something knowing we could go up if he wants us to go up, right?
No,
like, you're
going to
give your best offer, aren't you?
No, this ain't the best one. Because when the person does the counter and then you give them the counter, they ain't going to come back with a counter to the counter.
Are you sure they're going to come back with a counter? Because if you don't come up with an offer that's good enough
It's good, not foolish. Now you want to find somewhere in between foolish and good, right? So, like, you give him good first, and then he's going to be like, nah, man, it's just cool, thank you, but what about this? And you're like, that's
foolish.
Do you
think he will give them –
what about this?
Do you think he'll give them the last shot? Like, remember, like Utah did not give the Knicks the last shot. Cleveland said, you take it, or if you go back to the Knicks, this deal's off the table.
Yeah.
So they just took him without telling the Knicks, right? That's what went wrong with the Donovan Mitchell deal. So do you think that Judge would get an offer, let's say, from the Giants? And he's like, all right, but he brings it to the Yankees just to see if the Yankees will match or go over. Or will he just say, no, the Yankees gave me this, I'm not giving them any more time. They had plenty of time to offer me.
I think you take the one that you get that's foolish. Because you're gonna say that, hey, the Yankees could have gave me this one.
Right.
That could have been their first offer. So
that's why the Yankees, like you heard, I mean, Cashman, I read it to you. This is not time to mess around. This is on the clock time.
So
I can't imagine you're giving an offer that is not as pretty close to final offer.
Who's the biggest threat? Is it the Giants?
I want to.
Don't say not a winning culture. They've won way more championships.
That's not what I said. It's obviously a very stable program. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying that when you're talking, what he described to me in those quotes sounded very similar to what the Yankees are: winning culture, commitment to winning. They spend. Okay.
Yeah,
they do whatever it takes,
they have been
a winning franchise. They haven't had a losing season in forever.
They could have got Luis Castillo, though.
Well,
so they didn't spend. It's not win or else. They've been believing in their young players for 10 years. They believed in Greg Berg. They believed in the Kraken. They believed in Gleyber Torres. They believed in your boy.
Don't keep reminding me. Huh? Don't keep reminding me all the different names. You know what I believe? I believe the Jets-Patriots game is the biggest game these two teams have played in a long time. We'll discuss next.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen to the guys live weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio. Plus, you can listen and watch the guys on the ESPN app. This is the Barton Hahn Podcast.